My dear brothers and sisters, recently, researchers conducting a Gallup international poll about religion surveyed people from 57 countries. Interesting statistics about religion and faith. In the United States, the poll suggests that since 2005, this is in the last 7 years, the number of people who consider themselves religious has dropped from 73% to 60%. 13% drop in the last 7 years. Those who consider themselves atheists has risen from 1% to 5%. Now, how much trust we put in this Gallup poll is something that we'll have to debate, but even if it is widely true, it's something for us to think about. From the Christian perspective and from the point of view of church attendance, there are numerous reasons for this decline. There's no one single reason, but both conservatives and liberals have weighed in on the statistics. So conservatives say that the church is not traditional enough for people to stay, while the liberals claim that it's the church's conservative stand that is making people leave the church. Either way, religion in general seems to be losing its hold on the lives of people. As far as we are concerned, this data could not have been more timely. For the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about the bread of life discourse. And last week, as I preached, we had reached the climax of this discourse. And today we reach the end of Jesus' discourse on the bread of life. The first time Jesus preached these words, there were two responses that emerged. The first response read something like this: as a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and they stopped accompanying Jesus. The saying is too hard, they said. And you have a second response. When Jesus saw people leaving him, he went to his disciples, the 12, and he said to them, "Do you also want to go away?" And they say, "Lord, to whom?" "Yes, God, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life, and we have come to believe and are convinced that you're the Holy One of God." Of course, that is John's whole purpose. John is writing this gospel to make sure that the readers will come to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. So I'm suggesting that at the end of the bread of life discourse, as we have people making choices about their faith, maybe it is time for us to both reinforce our own faith and reach a level of commitment in a new way. We're all committed to Christ. That's why we're here at Mass this morning. We are believers, but how is it that we can make our faith even stronger and be even more committed? So that's the kind of theme I'm following in my 3 points that I raised before you. So in our first point, let me begin with the first reader. It's from the book of Joshua, and Joshua is addressing all the leaders of the people of Israel and the entire population for a very special reason. This is a crucial time in the history of the people of Israel. You remember Moses was barred from entering into the promised land. Joshua took upon the mantle of leadership. But before he enters into the promised land, before he begins all the battles that are to follow for the people to take over the promised land, Joshua, for one time, wants the people to make sure that the commitment they made to the covenant with God is intact. So he calls them all and he said, please, reinforce your faith. Make sure you're committed to the covenant. And then he ends with those words, which are famous. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In other words, at the most crucial point of the history of the people of Israel, Joshua is inviting the people to make a recommitment of their faith in God. What do we learn from that? Folks, one good indicator of our faith is to examine how we related to God in the crucial moments of our own lives. What did God mean to us when we lost our employment? What did God mean to us when we unexpectedly lost someone we love? What did God mean to us when we were diagnosed with a terminal illness? What did God mean to us when our friends betrayed us? What does God mean in these crucial times? How much influence does God have in our important decision-making process? Or do we make judgments? Do we make decisions by our own human judgments? Does God play a role in the crucial decisions we make? Are we listening to God? Where is God when there are life-changing success? For example, fabulous opportunity for employment, marriage, birth of a child. All I'm saying is these are crucial times in our lives. And if you want to know how strong your faith is, one place is to look in those crucial times. The second thing I want to say is about the household. Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want to spend some time talking about the home, especially because this year the archdiocesan theme and our own parish retreat theme is the household, being church at home and home at church. We're focusing on the household. Paul, in the second reading, refers to the household, although quite exclusively on the relationship between husband and wife. Now, we can understand that reading when we hear things like, wives, be subordinate to your husbands. And we know from history that we have taken those words to establish a very patriarchal society, even a patriarchal home. Whether Paul had that in mind as he was writing is debated. But Paul is certainly writing from a patriarchal context. He's writing from within his context. I don't think he intended, because of that, to set up an oppressive society where males would dominate females. I don't think that was his intention, because he begins that reading by saying, be subordinate to one another. And then he goes to talk about the relationship between husband and wife. This passage is not meant to be oppressive, but Paul is focusing on the Christian home. He wants every home to realize for their lives to be holy, they must have the attitude and mind of Christ. And that's why, after talking about subordination, he says to the husbands, he said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. And that is Paul's focus. Paul is making sure that every person in the home has the mind and the attitude of Christ. And if husbands and men throughout the centuries had done that, probably we would not have the patriarchal society we have today. Or particularly a patriarchal oppressive society that we have today. No, Paul is saying focus on the home. Every home is supposed to be like a church. Just like in a church, especially in our church, Christ is at the center. In every home, Christ must be at the center, is what Paul is trying to say. As Joshua says, every Christian home should be able to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So folks, without making the second point an advertising for the retreat, there is a reason why we've chosen the home to be the focus of our discipleship this year. And I hope that many of you have registered for this retreat, because it's going to be a great way for us to make sure that every home becomes an extension of the church that we belong to, where Christ is at the center, where we have the mind of Christ. And thirdly, I'm sure that every day at work or wherever you are, you meet people who are losing faith. I'm sure you know people in that statistic, people who've actually stopped believing. Don't go to church anymore, find organized religion meaningless. Or people who are really struggling, not because they're bad people, but faith is hard and they're struggling. Maybe you know those people. And here's the question that I'm going to raise before you. If somebody like that who's losing faith came to you and said, I'm losing my faith, I give you one chance to help me, what would you say to them? If somebody came and said, tell me why you believe, what is your testimony? What would we say to the struggling person? So I'm suggesting a rather unusual exercise. I've never done this before, and I don't know whether this will be successful or not, okay? I'm suggesting that you take this entire week and see if you can write down, even if it is one sentence on a piece of paper, if you can write down your faith journey or your faith statement. Could be as simple as, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and I have come to believe and I'm convinced that you're the Son of God. It could be just that one statement, whatever it is. I'm suggesting that next week, we keep a huge basket over here for all the three masses. And if you can write down your faith journey, your faith statement, and I'm going to invite people at the beginning of Mass or at the preparation of Mass to come and drop their faith statement into this basket. And this gift of faith that we have, I would love to gather the faith of this whole community and offer it to the Lord at the preparation of gifts. And we ask God to bless the faith that we already have, and that we may become stronger, even more committed. So I'm inviting people from all the three Masses to please come ready with their faith journeys, a little piece of paper, which we will then, and these pieces of paper, not for anybody to read, don't put your name on it. I'm gonna shred it myself. I'll burn it. But it's an exercise of our own faith so that we can know how precious our faith is and how we can commit even further to what God is calling us to. So I invite all of you to be part of that. So as the bread and wine is brought forward, once more we remind ourselves that Jesus is the bread of life. And we discussed about this last week, that Jesus is really, in the most real way that is possible on the face of the earth, Jesus comes to us in this little bread, this little wine. May this Eucharist be our confession, the same confession that the apostles made. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. People of God said,